Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 256, part 1, Salt. Today is Friday, August 24th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here. Said the joker to the thief, there's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth, none of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke, there are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled Salt One. And today we're going to examine many different kinds of sacrifices. The doing God a favor sacrifice. The sacrifice with a complaint. The sacrifice with a price tag. The legal sacrifice. The once-a-week sacrifice, and you know, all of these sacrifices that have no salt are tasteless. In other words, they are in poor taste. Leviticus 2 and 13, and every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of thy covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Now the Israelites would always bring offerings of many kinds to God. Psalm 20 and 3 says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Before they went into war, the kings would offer a sacrifice. And the way that it was accepted would mean the way the war was going to come out. They went by that. And here we have Jesus, the once and for all sacrifice, that then went against the legions of hell. I think we should always look to our sacrifice before we hurry on into war or open up our mouths. We should look on to our final glorious sacrifice and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And we were talking about war, and we were talking about in the song there, marching into war and so on like that, a battle. know how important it is to every day as we arise to look at that final sacrifice, that Jesus did it all. And I believe if we are on fire for our Lord with His love, we should then be very frequently saying something like this: what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? And I think we must always wait on the Lord and meditate. A lot of times, a little pausing might greatly help our speed. Don't jump into things. Granthea says, according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. And so you see, we have our own will when we do the will of God. You really have your own desired way when you do the way that God desires you to go. That's when you're the happiest. That's when you're the most fulfilled, when you do the will of the Father. And I think it will be the habit of the Christian as well as the Israelite to then continually bring oblations before his God. Well, you say, how can we do this? I think we need to say with Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then I think we should ask another question. How will you have me to do it? Because you see, a will worship is not acceptable with God, what you will to do for God. And I mean, if we bring God what He doesn't ask, it will not be received. It's like going into a cafe and saying, well, I would like to have a T-bone steak. And so you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait. You get good and irritated, and then the waitress comes with a Coney Island. And you look at the Coney Island and you say, well, this is a very nice Coney Island, but I don't want it. I ordered steak. Well, she says, can't you see this is a nice Coney Island? Okay, I'll take it back. And then she comes back with a hot beef sandwich. And you look at her. You say, are you hard of hearing or what's going on? Now, what I want is the T-bone steak. I will not accept anything else. And that's the way we act with God. He asks us to do one little thing and we want to do something greater. We want to get more glory out of it. And so we bring what we think that He would like, some other kind of a sacrifice. So we must present only that which He requires. I mean, let's look at it this way. If Jesus is submissive to the will of God, if it was necessary to Him, how much more than for us? Submit yourself unto the Lord. Now, that is not always easy. And we must present to Him what He wants in His own way. We serve, the Bible says, a very jealous God. But anyway, three times in this verse, the Lord commands the meat offerings and all other offerings must also have an offering of salt. Well, someone says, does salt make all the difference? I mean, why does it have to be so detailed? Yes, in many instances we are to keep the letter as well as the spirit, but you can only keep the letter by the spirit. For the letter alone killeth, but the Spirit brings life. For it is written, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That's interesting. He's still in the kingdom of heaven. Shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And I think there's going to be a lot of people The legalists are going to be in heaven, but they're going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. How many are hearing this? See, I believe it's not for the servants to say this order is unimportant, but this one is very binding. We are not to act on things just as he says, aren't we? Aren't we supposed to act on things just like God says? I remember when Steve was here with us, and this is about 3 or 4 years ago, we saw this very religious woman stealing a newspaper. Someone had put the coin in there, and she ran over and stuck her hand in there, held the slot open, and then grabbed the newspaper out. Well, right then and there, her legalist attitude and her religious attitude, she lost all of her flavor. She lost all of her salt. And so when she came, you know, gumming it in here and talking about how sinful people were, I always thought about that newspaper. I mean, I can't get it out of my mind, you know what I mean? And he'll go on with all these legalist terms and so on like that, and hell and damnation and everything and all. Now, I always feel like saying, but how about that newspaper you stole? And so God even gives us orders about salt. Sometimes we have to do things that aren't popular. We have to be salt. Maybe we're wounded and that salt smarts. But also other things were needed in the imperfect sacrifices. Alloys and cassia, and the same was Jesus was perfumed with, all of those things. And so there are sacrifices. But I think we must take care with our sacrifices, don't you? I think we have to have oil. I think we have to have the oil of the Holy Spirit. What good is a sermon without the oil of the Holy Ghost? What good is a sermon without the oil of the Holy Ghost? What good is a preacher when he's so legal he can't see the failings and the faults with himself? How can he minister about those things? I don't praise God for being saved when I was 40 years old almost. But in a way, when I look at people that were saved when they were 8 years old, and they always allude to that fact that they were saved sometimes back and they were always brought up in such holiness, I kind of have to say to myself, well, who is going to minister to all these sinners? It'll have to be some rotten person like myself. Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. See, he really got a good look at himself. That is the crux of the problem right here in 1978. Salt won the treaty. The world even has a treaty. We have a brother that's in trouble. 7 years before, even in the world, they have a 7-year limitation. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that kind of smack of stink? What good is it without the Holy Ghost moving on it? Well, the Holy Ghost came to bring you peace and to bring you comfort. Wherever that comfort isn't, the Holy Ghost isn't. The message in the end doesn't bring you peace. Oh, yes, it can convict you, but in the end it has to bring you the love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't do that. It's not the Holy Spirit. If a prophecy come forth and it doesn't build up and cheer up and clear up, because after all prophecy is in Grand Central Station, the book of Revelation right now, steaming in there and waiting for fulfillment. Some of them, some are already fulfilled, and the rest of them are ready to be fulfilled. And the eagles are about ready to be called in. And yet we'll have those that will get up and prophesy doom on people. See, that which goes to God must first come from God. You got to offer it up, and then God offers it back. We need oil. We can't do it without it. In my sacrifice of my ministry, I must have oil. I tell you, a lot of times we'd rust for the lack. If it wasn't the Holy Spirit oiling us, God knows we wouldn't oil each other. We don't have enough salt to do that sometimes. I think all of us that are sitting here, you listening on the radio, pray that in all that you do for the Lord Jesus in sacrifice, have oil with it. Put oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. But anyway, just before this verse, we see that the Lord forbids them to present any honey. In other words, he's saying, don't try to sweeten up the pot. Don't garnish it with your own additives or substitute artificial ingredients. Listen, no meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. And as for the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord. But they shall not be burnt upon the altar for a sweet savor. Just obey it, saying, don't invent your own cookbook. The ripe fruits, it's saying, are full of honey, full of sweetness, and God does not ask for sweetness. He asks for salt. And so not honey, but salt must be added to all the sacrifices. All the sacrifices which we present to our God. Well, you say, what does that mean to us? Well, notice then this. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. Now, so then we're dealing with types. The salt was a symbol of a new covenant. And when God made a covenant with David, the Lord gave the kingdom to David forever by a covenant of salt, which meant, by the way, that it was unchangeable, incorruptible, forever, always, everlasting, never ending. You can count on it. Praise God for it, a covenant that you can count on, which would endure as salt makes a thing endure, glory to God, so it would not spoil and it would not corrupt. And so the salt covenant means that whenever you and I bring any offering to the Lord, that we must take care that we remember the covenant, the salt covenant. And as we stand at the altar with our gift, serving God daily, not once in a while, serving God daily with our service, we then must continually offer the salt covenant with all of our sacrifices. Now listen, we have been doing good works in order to be saved. Offering our particular piece of cake sometimes. Our whipped up self-action. Now if it isn't motivated by the Holy Ghost, it doesn't count for nothing. You can't work your way into heaven. Unless it's ordered of the Lord, it doesn't mean anything. It means that you're under the wrong covenant. You are under the work system. And it says in the Bible, it's putrid. Isn't that a descriptive word? It stinks. It's putrid. And all it says that you will gain is a curse. Curse it. Oh, listen to this, legalist. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so therefore the apostle says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. You are not under the law, but you are under the law of love. You are under grace. And the Bible says, my grace is sufficient unto thee. Why is that so hard to understand? Seems to me I understand it more and more every day. See, I believe the closer you get to the Lord in suffering, the closer that you get to Him, the more light you receive, the more you see yourself, and the more you need change. Talking about honey, and there's a bee flying around the stage here. Kind of fits in, doesn't it? But get away from that covenant and come to the covenant which has salt. Now I'm talking about the covenant of grace. The new covenant with Jesus Christ as the head, the complete pre-cooked spiritual recipe of eternal life, is that Jesus Christ did it all and that we just have to receive. Oh, that's such a great message. All we have to do is receive the final sacrifice. Now, if you've ever been under a legalistic ministry, you know how hard it is to measure up. You never quite attain what they're going for because they never attain it. Well, if you listen to me, you'll attain because I've already attained. Jesus attained it and I just receive it, and so I am an attainer. I am a container that is attained. You get it? I want to get it. I mean, you make it so hard for people to attain righteousness because they can't attain righteousness on their own. All they do is receive it. I have made you that way. You couldn't do it by yourself. All of your works stink outside of the oil of the Holy Ghost and the salt of the new covenant. You can't do it. David couldn't do it. Samson couldn't do it. Isaiah couldn't do it. None of them can do it. Jesus did it. You receive it? Okay, I receive it. And just walk away like some people think you're some kind of a dummy. I just receive it. Okay, and you go away licking your lollipop. Down you go. You're hearing this? Just be that way. Because God made you that way. I'm really glad for that. Because I tried after that at first got saved to make something out of myself. I couldn't do it. I really did. I tried to make something out of myself. I thought, I am going to be holy. I am going to study to be holy. And you know what? You drive yourself crazy. You have to be some kind of a Friar Tuck and go up in some kind of a monastery someplace. You know what I mean? Go into some kind of a tomb and live in there forever. And you know why you're in there? You'll sin. You'll find a way. You'll find a way to get in the world. You'll open up them rusty old books and you'll have another book inside of that book. See, it's our nature. And so God has to put a new nature within us, and we are being transformed daily. We aren't that way. We're being transformed daily. Grace to grace and glory to glory and day to day and breath to breath. One thing to another thing and so on and so on. You cannot be. I just wonder sometimes. I listen to preachers. I thought, well, now they must have had some sword come down in heaven. And they were just made holy, totally holy. What's the secret? What is the secret to becoming like you? Well, I don't want to know it because I want to become that way. Because God said it doesn't have salt. It's not preserved. It's a self-preservative and it won't last. It's a honey preservative and it won't last. It'll burn up in the fire. It'll stink. And so serving God daily with service, we must continually then offer salt with the covenant of our new sacrifices every day. Are you hearing this? Or our offerings will be sort of an antichrist. That's an antichrist, another gospel, another imitation. A look good but stink in God's nostril, putrid sacrifice. Are you hearing this? All else is honey and spice, and look how nice my works are, and it won't stand up in the fire. It'll crumble, it'll fall, it'll crystallize. I thank God that I have come to understand. And I think like we all, and in the end, the Bible will just have everyone be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because right now, like you said, all these things that are happening were prophesied. Brother against brother and so on like that. And in the end, we're all going to come to that salt sacrifice and say, Jesus did it all. I think if we need one thing right now in the body of Christ, it's a forgiveness. It's a forgoing on now. It has to be there. Without forgiveness, there is nothing. Now, the whole total Bible is forgiveness. I mean, the whole Bible is founded on that. And so I have to say to the legalists, this I will say as a warning. Come with the salt, or your offering is tasteless, and not only tasteless, it's very boring. I think we're seeing many saltless, self-righteous people offering their brand of gospel on TV. Unforgiving, judging, hateful, and totally loveless. And the world is watching. Oh my, I think many on that final day are going to be greatly surprised. Whatever we obeyed first, we'll have. Whatever seed of unforgiveness and judgment we plant, we'll reap. And you'll get up there, and then all these unforgivenesses and this hate and this judgmental and this legalist that you preached, preacher, and say, hey, take a look over yonder there. There's your field. You stood in the door and you kept people from entering in. You are a self-righteous Pharisee. You kept all the law. But you left out the main ingredient, Jesus Christ, and the blood and the cross and the burial and the resurrection. You left all that out as a total, total atonement for all sin. And you left that out. And you stood in the doorway like the Pharisee of old. And there's a lot of Pharisees now. I mean, all they did was just born into 1987, and they're still here. And you stood in the doorway, and you kept all of those bleeding lambs out. Remove yourself from me. I never knew you. That's kind of spooky, isn't it? You did all these works, and you did all of this preaching and yelling and screaming and hollering, and oh man, you just had Jesus, and you had all of everything in your closet. And everybody else was wrong. Well, if it doesn't contain the grace message, it is entirely, totally wrong. If it doesn't see men like they really are and yet forgive them, it is totally wrong. See, those who have lived a sheltered life and can't see the down and the out, or why they are like they are, they have no salt smile. Have you ever seen a person or someone that's trying to do a job and they have no experience with that job? They have that no salt smile. It's a phony smile. There's no salt in it. It's sort of a... You know what I mean? There's no salt in their smile. There's no salt in their attitude, and there's no salt in their testimony, and there's no salt in their works. Totally a lack of understanding. They're sort of like Planters peanuts without salt. You ever try to eat? They have these saltless peanuts now. There's this garbage. I mean, you'll gag on them. I don't want them peanuts to be roasted and salted. At least I'll die salty. "Oh, are you still taking salt?" Well, I says, "Don't worry about it. I'm a worker. I'll sweat it right off. That's your problem. You're not doing anything, so you're going to die of a buildup of salt." Years ago, when you worked, you had to take salt pills because you sweat all your salt off. That's a problem. That's why salt is a problem, and sugar, too. Well, that's a high-energy food, don't you? You'll just burn yourself out of it. Hey, some people need some sugar, some energy, but they need to go to work. See, they sit down. If you have this Snickers candy bar like they have on there, give me a Snickers. Well, you just sit there and eat Snickers all day, one after the other. That isn't going to do it. But if you have a little bit of sugar and you get up and work, you're going to work it off. And if you have a little bit of salt, it ain't going to kill you unless you just sit there and shake the salt shaker in your mouth. But see, we're not very tasty when we're not salty. We're that tight-lipped, white-faced legalist. We're boring. We walk the stage in condemnation. We beat our Bibles. Huh? Huh? How about use that finger on yourself a little bit? You're wondering what I'm doing on the radio. Come to church and find out. Be salty and venture into the north side. They won't steal your hubcaps, we'll steal your whole car. Well, that's what people think. Think everybody down here is a thief. Well, it takes one to know one. That's what's happening. Isn't that right? Do you think they steal out in the suburbs? Oh. Well, we got so much we don't miss it. Did I have three cars or? Didn't we have a little Fiat or they call it, was it a Fiat or a Fiat? I don't know. Seems, well, maybe we didn't. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, that's like a planter's peanut with no salt. And so we got a lot of nuts running around, saltless nuts. No flavor, flat, and tasteless, and sort of gaggy. I mean, a man who is trying to save himself is in opposition to the Savior. A form of the Antichrist. A proud, proud spirit. Isn't that the Antichrist? Wasn't that the devil? A proud spirit? A haughty, stiff-necked spirit? Why is that so hard to see? Because people can look good. Now, we all understand the don't do is, well, I know, I've just got to change my ways. But, you know, we got them don't do's, but we can't do the don't do's. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's easy to understand the law, but the law came to show you your sin and to show you your sin only. There's a new covenant that says the blood has to cover you because there's no way you can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly every waking hour of every day according and standing next to God. There's no way you can do it perfectly. You'll have to receive the blood of Jesus Christ. And before I gave you the law, you didn't even know you were sinners. Now you know you're sinners. Will you give up and come to the grace of God and admit you can't make it by yourself? Yes or no? Answer the question! No, I'm going to be holy. Wait and see. I'll just get that way. I can do it. I can do it. Huh? Isn't that insane? Don't people look insane?
There you have it. That was part one of episode 256, salt. Be sure to listen to part two on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changin'.